We say it all the time. I know I've said it even in a sermon. He's not here. Now, part of that is our Easter liturgy, right? He's not here. He's risen. Go and see the place where they laid him. But when I've said it, what I mean is that Jesus, in physical form, in the flesh, in the form that he had when he walked and talked among his disciples, when the form that he had when he visited Mary and Martha's house, in the body that he lived in, he is not here. He's ascended, actually, according to Luke's gospel, bodily. So he's still in the body. He's still there. He still lives in the flesh, just not here. And oh, the day that we long to see that, the day that we would hope that we finally get to glimpse him face to face, but also the jealousy that we have a little bit for those who actually got to glimpse him, those who got to walk with him, those who got to hear his voice as he spoke it here on this earth. We wish he was here. We wish he was here among us. We wish he was here with us. I've said it, that he's not here. And yet, as we read Paul's words from Colossians this morning, maybe that's not entirely true, that he's not here, that he's not here even in bodily form, that he's not here in flesh, that he's not here among us. Because Paul has this weird little phrase there in our reading from Colossians, verse 24, that he rejoices in his sufferings for the sake of the Colossians, that he is filling up in his flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Oh, that doesn't hit us well, especially as Lutherans. That kind of scares us a little bit. We think Paul might have a savior complex for just a moment. But if we pull back from that and we take Paul seriously for just a moment, that he is somehow fulfilling Christ's work, then that means that Paul recognizes himself and Christ as one. That in essence, his flesh is Christ's flesh. That his ministry is Christ's ministry. That what he is doing is what Christ is doing. And in that sense, I think we could agree with Paul that Paul is right to say that Christ is right there with him. In fact, a little bit later on in Colossians, he will even make the statement, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." I hope I'm not stealing the thunder for a next pastor that comes along. Christ is here. He's in his church. He's doing his work. He's continuing to live in this world and bring salvation to his creation. And it turns out he's doing it through us. He's doing it through those who continue to proclaim forgiveness, life, and salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same message, by the way, that Jesus Christ himself gave to us. Just a couple of weeks back when Jesus sends out the 72 in the beginning of Luke chapter 10, he tells them that when a village rejects them, that they're supposed to go out into the streets and wipe the dust off of their feet and then say to them, but know this for certain, that the kingdom of God has come near to you or among you or to you simply by the visitation of those whom Christ sent out. And so while it's true that Christ, in the form that he took on, in his body that he was born with and that died on the cross and that rose from the grave, while that is not here, Christ in a very physical way is. Because he continues to dwell in the people who he gathers to himself. And we're living in a different time than Jesus lived. We're among different people than the people Jesus walked among in his physical body. We're saying different words. We're in a different culture. We're on a different side of the globe even. We're doing things that Christ never did. We're encountering trials and temptation and struggles that he never encountered in his culture. We're proclaiming his word and his work to a unique set of individuals among our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones that he never encountered in his body. And as we do that, there's a little bit of angst that we have when the world doesn't hear that message. There's a little bit of suffering that we endure when Christ's word and work that his church tries to bring into their neighborhoods is rejected. There's some persecutions even that we face sometimes when we show ourselves to be Christians, Christ-like, followers of Jesus, and live our lives according to his will and ways. We get some backlash from that. And these are the things that Paul is talking about when he talks about filling up the afflictions that are lacking in Christ. The things that we experience that Jesus in his earthly ministry did not. The things that we endure and encounter that are beyond his time here on this earth. We continue to fill up the afflictions of Christ because Christ lives in us. Because the work that we do is Christ doing that in the world. And so while he didn't do it in his bodily form, he does it in yours. He does it in mine. He does it in your sisters and brothers around the globe. And so in that way, Christ's afflictions, his sufferings to bring salvation to the world continue. Because this world continues to sin. We continue to be tempted and fall short. And that shame that we feel when we don't live up to the word of God and live our lives according to his ways, well, that's part of that suffering. When we see the world not working the way that God intended it, when we see his creation continuing to be corrupted, when we see people continuing to go astray and we sorrow for that, well, that continues to be the sufferings and the angst of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just as he prayed over Jerusalem that night, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets, how I would long to have gathered you under my wings, but you would not." When we look out and see a world that hasn't come to Christ, and we long for those realities, and we work for those realities, and still, it doesn't seem to make that much of a difference. Well, we suffer for Christ's sake. We fill up what was lacking in his ministry as we continue the work that he's given us. And when we proclaim the truth just as he did, when we proclaim the truth just like his followers did, when we go into our neighborhoods and our towns and our workplaces and we declare that the kingdom of God has come among this world and that message is rejected, and we walk away empty-handed, that's some of the sufferings that Christ is still enduring through you as he brings life and salvation to this world. And so we do suffer just as Christ did. We do endure some of the same trials that he did. But in all of that, the one thing that he was never lacking in his flesh, the one thing that he never lacked in his suffering was bringing that forgiveness to you. And so as we continue to fill up what is lacking in Christ, as we continue to do the ministry that he could not because he is now ascended to the right hand of the Father, as we continue to say the words that he speaks through us, as we continue to live the life that he fills us with, we do so with the full assurance that his afflictions for your sins are finished, paid in full. That you are not suffering for your sins because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done that. You're not paying the price for the sins of the whole world because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already done that. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. But until the world knows that, until the world comes to that truth, we suffer in the faith. Because we want the world to know that. And so we have to speak out. We have to proclaim life. We have to forgive sins. We have to live the life that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has won for us. We have to do that. And because we have to do that and the world is against it, we suffer. We suffer for Christ's sake. Or maybe a better way to say that, using Paul's words in Colossians, Christ suffers with you in that. See, you're not alone in your afflictions. You're not alone in your sufferings. You're not alone in your persecutions. Because your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, goes through them with you. And what overcomes that is the same thing that overcame his sufferings for your sins. The love of your Heavenly Father. The power that raised him from the grave. The life that cannot be quenched. Yes, we suffer. We suffer for Christ's sake. We suffer in the flesh in ways that Christ never did. Because he didn't live here and now. Oh, wait. Yes, he did. He lives in you. Amen.